If you've been waiting for a Montana adventure, get ready. We're going to the Circle Bar Ranch in Montana this May, and it's gonna be amazing.
We're talking working cowboys, wide open spaces, a big red barn, and lots of horses.
This is an intermediate to advanced workshop where we let you, the participant, guide the education to what the group needs most. It's an opportunity to learn from all three of us and our combined wisdom.
You'll leave with amazing images, new friends, and plenty of stories to tell.
Plus, you get to ride every day. It's included.
Come join us at the Circle Bar Ranch.
Montana is calling. Grab your camera and let's go.
It's time to laugh, learn, and take your photography to the next level with your favorite cowgirls with cameras, Kara, Kim, and Phyllis.
Welcome to the Cowgirls with Cameras podcast. I'm Kimberly Beer with Be More Business and Kim Beer Photography.
I'm Kara with Fast Horse Photography.
And I'm Phyllis with Phyllis Brochette Photo. Hello, y'all.
Hi.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Just cold. Go, go, go. Phyllis is cold.
Cold. I agree with you, Phyllis. It's cold here. It's cold. My pasture is this bright green color with all of these fluffy white spots in it, and they're not flowers. It's snow.
Wild.
It was 80 degrees here Saturday and 78 here yesterday, and now it's going to be in the 20s tonight. So it's not as cold as your house, I'm sure, but
we went from 80 degrees to 17 in less than 12 hours.
That's wild.
Yeah. It was craziness. A little bit of a culture shock and snow and a covering snow as well.
That's wild.
Crazy. Crazy.
But how does Dumbledore like the snow?
He eats it.
Aw, what a baby.
Puppies are so cute in the snow. Even my dog is cute in the snow. So.
Yeah, he's not. I'm going to tell you, a smooth collie is not the same as a cattle dog in the farm situation. I've already noticed where he's a little like, yeah, I'm not going to get into that the same as your cattle dogs did. He does not approach life with quite the same tenacity. He's a little bit more reserved, which I actually really appreciate because he listens. I'm used to dogs who do not listen. So yeah, it's kind of fun.
Aw, I'm sure he's also still in the like new to your house stage and his personality is developing, I bet.
Oh no, he moved right in and made himself at home. And he does appreciate his creature comforts, but he's also not destructive. Like, he hasn't torn up a single toy since he's been here.
Aw.
That's a plus.
Yeah, and I'm used to, like I said, cattle dogs. I'm used to that. We'd have been through 15 of those toys by now.
I think Frankie was 3 years old before she got into the trash for the first time. So
our trash stays behind a locked door. So he will, I hopefully never have that temptation.
Well, Kaylee is part hound and part cattle dog, and she has never been a chewer, knock on wood.
I will tell you, he does not have the concept of retrieving down, though. Like every other dog I've got, you know, you can play fetch with them.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
I throw the thing, he goes and he lays down and chews on it. He's like, well, that was nice of you to throw it over here. He runs over, pounces on it, then lays down and chews on it. And I'm like, I try to get him to come back and he just leaves it and comes back. I don't think fetch is going to be part of his future. I even tried to like teach him how to fetch and he's like, yeah, that just doesn't appeal to me.
I'm picturing you like running after the thing for him and then getting it and then bringing it back to yourself.
Oh God, no. I tied a string to a Kong ball. I am not that stupid.
He's not a cat, Kim.
The dog is not teaching me to fetch. I'm trying to teach the dog to fetch.
I put a string on an empty milk jug for Kaylee, and I'll swing it around my head, and she'll jump over my head to get it.
I bet, yeah. She's athletic, too.
Mm.
Oh, goodness. Well, what work have you guys been up to? Enough dog talk. What have you been doing? Editing KL bar photos. That's what we've all been doing.
I had a shoot this morning. I ran home. I worked on some editing, ran to my lift class, came back, worked on some more editing. And I have got a line of mounted prints of all sizes sitting over here and two albums. And I'm waiting on one more album before I can deliver. And it's just been, I don't know. I'm in full season. I don't know what everybody else is doing right now, but it's busy here. Very busy here.
You're in that part where you're coming out of winter and you got to shoot, get all your shoots done before it gets to be summer.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you guys are talking about the cold weather. It was 80 degrees, 80 something degrees this morning for my shoot. I was sweating by the time I was done and headed home. And I'm like, I was sitting there thinking to myself, it's only March. Like, I'm in trouble. I'm already ready to be done with season. I got a couple more months to go.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I'll tell you what I've been up to. I've been cleaning out my camera closet because I am going to completely go to mirrorless. So I've been cleaning out the camera closet, trying to come up with enough money to completely replace everything with mirrorless cameras. So I'm super excited. I think I finally got it done. By the end of this month, I should be completely mirrorless and should be sporting some Z lenses at the ends of my mirrorless cameras.
Just in time for Montana.
Just in time for Montana. And then my other big development of this last week is I went to bee school, which is the Buzz Buzz Bee School. So we have two hives ordered that are going to be here. So I'm super excited about having the bees, and I got to play with the bees, and they were very nice bees. I didn't get stung, which was awesome. So I'm looking forward to having our own honey.
I think that's pretty cool.
Well, the picture you sent us was really cool.
Yeah.
You and your beekeeper outfit.
My beekeeper outfit. Well, here's the big takeaway from that photo is that I have discovered to be a beekeeper, you have to have fairly good eyesight, or you need to put on your glasses because you have to be able to identify the little eggs to know your queen is okay.
Mm.
And the little eggs are very, 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 very tiny. And so I do believe part of my beekeeping situation is going to be a magnifying glass so that I can hopefully identify the eggs. Nick, however, sees a lot better than I do, and he was able to identify the egg relatively quickly.
You know, they have those really cool glasses, and I actually have a pair because my brother-in-law got a pair that are glasses, but they're magnifying glasses with a light on them. So I think that's,
nice.
Yeah,
that sounds like what you need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, your face is all covered up, though. You have a screen over your face.
Yeah, but can't you still use them through the, wouldn't it be the same?
Do you think they'll shine through the screen? I don't know. I'll have to give that a
try.
Well,
it depends on how close you get it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the bee suit was a little claustrophobic. My claustrophobia kind of kicked in.
When the guys come into the barn down at the ranch that I work part-time at, they come into the barn with theirs on, and I always feel like I'm, I don't know, on the moon or something, and they start walking around.
You do look
their,
like an alien.
Yeah.
Gosh. Anyway, what have you been up to, Phyllis?
Oh, you know, I had that big birthday over the winter, and I have not been very good at keeping up with all my doctor's appointments. And so March has been full of doctor's appointments. And plus, I'm getting an implant put in my tooth. Not implants. But
you're getting a boob job? No, let's get in the boob job.
A tooth. I had a tooth pull, so I'm getting a implant put in my So just different things like that, and sitting in front of the computer and working on images. And I've had a bunch of other just office type work. And I'm supposed to be working on my taxes, but I've not been very good at getting that done yet. So that's all I got. I haven't taken a camera out for any reason this whole year, actually.
Well, Arizona.
Well, oh, well, yeah.
Duh. Well, we're going to get back into it. Really quickly, we'll be back into shooting on the regular and being behind the lens on a lot of things.
Speak for yourself. I'm already there.
Kira's already there. All right. Well, girls, you know, something that we do have that's exciting coming up is we have a special guest coming into our community, which is Guild Canvas. And I'm super excited to attend because I've never ordered a Guild Canvas, and I have some ideas of some things that I'm going to send off to Guild Canvas. But Kara, you work with them on a pretty regular basis. Why don't you give us a lowdown of what we are offering? And by the way, just so all of you out there listening know, this is available in the free part of our community. So if you join, you will be able to come to this. So there is no cost to this. But tell us about what we're going to learn from Guild Canvas and about Guild Canvas in general.
Definitely. So we are so excited to welcome Guild Canvas back as a sponsor this year to Cowgirls with Cameras. I know I've talked about them before on here, but just as a recap, Guild Canvas is known for They just have a beautiful luxury line of museum quality handmade canvas products that are just perfect for, especially if you're a portrait artist, they're perfect for that. They have a special focus on museum quality canvas mounting, which is really cool. They offer gallery wraps, they offer framed canvases, and they offer really cool digitally painted portraits. I've had a couple of clients order those, and they just take a beautiful picture and they elevate it to something that is just really cool and art. Just, it's like painterly. It's just so cool on the wall. I have worked with them for years and they just continue to impress me with the gorgeous artwork that they help me personally create through Fast Horse for my clients. So I would recommend, if you are a portrait artist or you like to print your work, check them out. You can head over to guildcanvas.com and just learn a little bit more about them on your own. One of the things that we did ask them to do for us this year as part of their sponsorship was to come into our private community at cowgirlswithcameras.community and give us a live presentation for the folks that hang out there with us. And it's going to be Tavis Guild from Guild Canvas. He's going to talk about profitable by design, structuring your products and pricing for consistent sales. And I personally am very excited about this presentation because I offer their products for sale and a lot of other different products to my clients. And I really am excited to see what he has to say about this topic. I think it's something as photographers, we're always kind of questioning ourselves on our pricing and how to structure our pricing. And I'm really hoping that this will help us all answer a lot of questions about that. And he's going to have a Q&A at the end for us as well. So that's on March 27th. It's probably going to be after this podcast episode comes out. But definitely, if you are thinking that this is something you would like to see, we will be recording it for people in our community. So it's not going to be too late. Even if you hear this after the event, you can still come into our community and enjoy the presentation and tons of others that we've got coming up down the line.
Awesome. Thank you, Kara.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Guild Canvas.
And thank you, Guild Canvas, for sure. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm super excited about attending.
I would like to have one. I just don't know if I can afford it. So,
well, you know, you just got to go in there and you can get in on their sample days and test them out.
There we go. So Kara's got a whole plan for us.
I got a plan
for
you. And
I'm sure Travis does too. Awesome. All right. Well, let's get on to our topic du jour, which is leveling up as a working pro when you already know the basics. And, you know, photography is the gift that keeps on giving. There are so many levels to education with photography. And we talk a lot about the basics because sometimes that's the hardest part of this, is to kind of get that mastered in your head and then to be able to really apply it out in the field. But once you are feeling pretty comfortable with that, where do you go? How do you level up? How do you keep going? And I can tell you, I've been a working photographer for over 30 years now. And gosh, I'm still learning new stuff. And I still am leveling up my skills on a regular basis. And so that's what our discussion is going to be about today. Phyllis is going to be talking about self-assignments for your future revenue and for building your vision and building your portfolio. And I'm going to be talking about one of the things that's like near and dear to my heart, and I know everyone else's heart in this group, and that is attending workshops as a way to level up your skills. And then Kara is going to bring up talking about mentorships and goal-oriented shortcuts to growth. So Phyllis, why don't you lead us off with those self-assignments? I know you're a master at these.
Okay, so I'm talking about self-assignments for future revenue. As a working photographer, self-assignments for me are more about creating the work I want to be hired to shoot. Some self-assignments are projects you give yourself, the same way a client would give you a brief. I call self-assignments spec work. In other words, I'm speculating that I'll make money from it, hoping that I'll make money from it. Instead of waiting for someone to commission the job, you assign it to yourself first. You go shoot it, you build the story, and then you use that body of work to open doors. Self-assignments help you create the portfolio that attracts the clients you actually want, which I think is really important. Think in terms of stories that publications or brands might want. Go produce that work first, then you have real images to pitch the job, not just an idea. Self-assigned work can also become licensable content. Images from a personal project might be used by brands, tourism campaigns, editorial features, or even stock and use as print sales. I've done that many times. Many photographers underestimate how much their personal work can become commercial assets. Self-assignments will let you explore new revenue directions without waiting for a client, which I love. Editors and brands respond better to, here's a story I've already started, rather than, I have an idea. When you have images already shot, it shows commitment, vision, and follow through. And it really makes it much easier for someone to say yes. A lot of photographers think self-assignments are just for creativity, but they can actually be one of the smartest business moves you can make. When you create the stories you want to shoot, you are also creating the work that attracts the clients you want to work with.
I think that's huge because when you're thinking about like what you want to shoot in the future, and if you don't have access to that, like self-assignment is a great way to start creating that work. And they always say you want to show out in the world what you want to shoot more of, you know?
Yeah.
And that can be a super tricky thing to get those people to hire you. So sometimes you've got to like actively go out there and make that happen. So definitely.
Done it.
We've all done it, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, we've all done it that way. And it does push you out of your comfort zone and it gets you to where you really are ready when the right clients come along to be able to do that, that you know exactly what you're doing and you're able to execute it in a really good way rather than learning it on the fly. So it's really worth the time, even if that particular project never, ever leads to revenue in and of itself. It's still worth a lot of effort to do that.
That's actually what I did last year for the Cracker Swap Cattle Co. article, as I went out and told them, I want to shoot on your ranch because I would love to get local publicity for Florida ranches. And I told them that that was my goal, is I was going to shoot and I was going to pitch. And that's exactly what I did. And it worked out and I ended up doing a second shoot with them just to kind of flesh out the images. But I was able to use a lot of that work I created as spec work as part of that article that went to Western Horseman. So you're absolutely right. Like you get an idea, go shoot it and then try to think about how to put it to work.
Absolutely. So another place that you can work on up-leveling your skills is at a workshop. And I think when I think of a workshop, I think of our workshops. I think of these kind of week-long, and we do these intensive educational workshops where you can come in and you can start with a very specific goal and work through it at the workshop. As a matter of fact, our educational workshops, our intensive educational workshops are designed is precisely to do that. As a matter of fact, for those intensive learning experiences, we meet with you ahead of time and learn about what your goals are. And then we help you achieve the goal at that particular workshop. So that's one of the reasons why it's a blessing to have three instructors versus one at a workshop, because we can offer that level of helping you reach that specific goal that you're working through at the workshop. So we interview you ahead of time, we know what you want to work on, and then we help you work on that specific thing so that you can up level. And whether you're coming to a Cowgirls with Cameras workshop or not, whether you're going with someone else, I recommend that when you are going to a workshop to up-level your skill, not the only reason to go to a photography workshop, by the way, you can go just to have fun. That is loud. It is 100% legal. You can just go to have a good time. You do not have to go to do anything or meet any goals. Sometimes just hanging out with the horses and other photographers is all you want to do. But if you are going with this specification that you do want to up-level your skills, going with what you want to do ahead of time in mind makes a difference. And letting the instructors know that that's something you're wanting to work on while you're there, if there's teaching or instruction involved in that workshop, it really helps them, whether it's us or someone else, be able to work toward that. Now, sometimes there's no instruction included at the workshop. Like we do some workshops that aren't really workshops. They're retreats. We're all getting there. We're shooting. Does not mean that there isn't still an opportunity to up-level your skills, because you can do the self-assignment, right? You can say, this is someplace where I'm going to work on A, B, C, D. For me, 1 year, I spent one entire dry head workshop being very frustrated, learning how to edit on my iPad. I forced myself to do it. It's a situation where I am 100% committed to doing it at the workshop. As a matter of fact, I believe I left my laptop at home so that I would purposefully only be stuck with the iPad to do it. I fell in love with it. I learned how to do it. I worked through all of my frustrations and I was able to focus on that. You can do the same thing with learning a camera skill. If you're wanting to do more with video, you can dedicate and focus, say, okay, this workshop, I am focusing on video. And then you have the opportunity to do that. So that's a way of up-leveling your skills. A lot of times at a workshop, you're around other photographers. So if you get stuck, you generally have a pool of people that you can ask questions. And most of the time, there's going to be somebody in the group that can help you out of a stuck situation, or at least talk you off the ledge so that you're able to continue, even if it's more of a support situation where it's like, hey, I'll help you find it in your camera manual or in the Photoshop YouTube videos that you're looking at. Workshops come in a lot of different flavors. I have learned a lot from the day classes in PPA. Like sometimes there's just like a small class. My local Missouri Photography Association, which is a PPA affiliate, they put on little workshops that are a couple of hours that you can attend on Zoom. They also have like full day ones where you can go and shoot, or you can spend all day with a professional around a certain topic and you can deep dive into it. I have attended some great ones on off-camera lighting, which is not a specialty of mine, unless it's lighting an arena for a raining show. I'm not that great at it when it comes to setting up lights for portraits and that kind of stuff, because it's not something I've done a lot of. But it's a skill that I want to have, and it's a skill I need to maintain. So going to a day class around off-camera lighting is super beneficial. It helps keep me sharp. It keeps me up with the trends because, again, photography is the gift that keeps on giving, not just in the extent of knowledge that there is to learn, but also there's trends and there's always new equipment and there's always new ways to do things. So there's a multitude of ways to utilize workshops to continue your education, your inspiration, and also just to keep you up to date. My two cents on workshops. Come to one of ours.
The one thing I would add to that is the inspiration that you get from other participants. Like, I'm always blown away when I see, like, we just came back from KL Bar in Arizona. We were just talking about how, you know, like, we were so impressed with some of the images we're seeing, you know, from the photographers, and like just perspectives that I didn't think about, or just the way they move their feet differently than me to like get the shot. Like, it's inspiring. And sometimes you get in your little bubble and you start doing everything your own way. So being able to go to a workshop and getting inspired by other people and their ideas is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Before we started recording, we were all talking about this, and Kara's like, I wished I would have been there to get that shot. And we're all like, yeah, we were all standing right next to each other.
We're all standing right there.
But it's great. And it's one of the reasons we offer the virtual viewing parties after the event, is because that sometimes is the most inspirational thing, because you're able to see that.
Oh, for sure.
But if you don't attend the workshop, you don't get invited to those. So that's another important piece. And like I said, it doesn't have to be an intensive learning experience. It can be a retreat type workshop, and you self-assign what you want to accomplish, and then look at the backs of cameras and computers of everybody else in the room and learn, expand, grow.
There we go. Okay. So I'll talk about the mentorship side of things, because mentorships, I see them as kind of a goal-oriented shortcut to growth. I think it's one of the fastest ways to level up. Once you already know the basics, working with a mentor is one of the fastest ways to level up. So instead of trying to figure out like everything through trial and error, you can bring someone with experience, like Kim was talking about with the lighting, for example, to help you work through a really specific goal or a problem. And you can get through it a lot faster because it's someone that's already been down that road before, and they can kind of save you all that trial and error. And I do think a lot of photographers get stuck here because they, you know, gosh, we've made it to a certain point and then we're trying to figure everything out all the time. And we're trying to do it all by ourselves. And we're also trying to figure everything out all at once. So mentorship it's so much more than just like sitting on a call with someone and getting advice. It's about hiring someone to help you move towards that goal that you've identified with less guesswork. And it's someone who can give you some outside perspective and also hold you accountable, which we all need, because I am the first to say I will procrastinate until I have my meeting with my mentor. And then I will hustle and get all caught up so I'm ready to go, which means I moved forward. So sometimes that's what we need, is someone that can kick us in the behind every now and then. A mentor can also help you stop kind of bouncing back and forth between random tips. I mean, we've all done this. We've been online and we'll see like, oh, that's a cool thing to try, or that's a cool thing to try. And we start chasing those little butterflies down different paths, but we never actually move forward. We get started on new things and new things and new things, but it doesn't move us forward. So it can help us really just remain focused on the progress. So instead of just consuming more and more random information, we're able to start applying the right focused and honestly for you type of information, like what we need for our specific issue at that time. A couple of things about this. I think that the best mentorship situations usually start with a specific goal or a problem that you need to address, instead of like a just help me with everything request. So just be super realistic or super specific, such as, you know, I don't know, it might be something like, I want to attract clients that are a better fit for my business, or I want to improve my average per client sale, or I want to learn how to use off-camera lighting, like Kim had mentioned. You know, that's very specific things that have an end game. So you hope by the end of your mentorship that you'll be comfortable, or at least more comfortable, setting up your lights and photographing a client. Or you will, at the end of your mentorship, have a better idea how to market for your ideal client, because you're working towards something that's really goal-oriented. There are many things that we can go through here in terms of what to look for in a mentor and working with a mentor, and like what that can look like in practice. But I feel like that could be like its whole episode. And we have done episodes on working with a mentor, so you can look back through our Cowgirls with Cameras library on that. But I think in terms of this episode is just to remind everyone that sometimes the quickest way forward is to take the time to invest in a solid mentor experience with an end game in mind. When I think about all the money that I have personally wasted, I'm going to say wasted, on educational things that I've never even really like looked at thoroughly, like we've all done it. We've bought the programs, we've purchased educational things, we've bought the little eBooks, and we've maybe flipped through them or just barely touched base on them. I just feel like I've wasted so much money on that. And if I would have just really spent the time on hiring a mentor for that instead, that could like work me through the problem with support and accountability and direction, it would have been so much better than just kind of floundering through some of this. I would have got there so much quicker, you know?
Yeah, that accountability is really important.
The accountability is huge. And anytime I have worked with a mentor, anything more than like a one-time hit and run type of experience, there have been goals for each time we worked together, like things that I needed to complete, where we were hoping to be and what we hope to have accomplished at the end of our time together. So I would just say, if you're feeling a little stuck, mentorship could be a really powerful tool to get you unstuck. When you work with someone around your clear goal, you could often make a lot more progress in just a few sessions than you might in just months and months of guessing and trying to drag tips out of random Facebook groups and that sort of thing. So don't be afraid to look for a good mentor.
Absolutely. And you can mentor with one of us. Just saying.
That's true. And like Kim said, you know, even at some of our, prior to some of our events, we offer mentorships as part of that to help get you ready to go for that event. So that's absolutely something that you can do. Okay. Is there anything else you guys want to add before I take us out?
No, it's just always keep growing.
No, it's a great episode. Great topic.
Okay. So I'm going to leave you guys with a couple of things. We've got some great events coming up that you can join us at out in the field. Head to Cowgirls with Cameras. You'll see our events page. You can check that out. See which one might be a good fit for you. If you have any questions, let us know. We're always happy to help guide you to the event that we think is probably best suited for where you're at that time. You can also find us on all the socials at Cowgirls with Cameras. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and we're on TikTok. We're on LinkedIn. You can even find some of our stuff on Kim's YouTube channel. So that's Kimberly Beer, YouTube. And then I cannot leave without saying one more time about our online community. It is like jam-packed with stuff now. We have added just hours and hours of educational videos, live education that we have done in the community and have recorded it. So it's there for you. There's so much you can do in there. That is cowgirlswithcameras.community. And it is also the first place that you're going to hear about events that we have coming up. So if you want to make sure that you're like, you know, in the loop, that's the place you need to be. So anyway, that's it. Hope to see you out there somewhere.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Cowgirls with Cameras. Don't let the laughter and learning stop here. Join our community on social media and be sure to visit our website for more opportunities to fulfill your photography goals. Head to cowgirlswithcameras.com. That's cowgirlswithcameras.com. See you next time.